Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Aftermath: Seven Secrets of Wealth Preservation in the Coming Chaos is a 2019 nonfiction investment book by James Rickards, a financial strategist known for writing about systemic risk, monetary instability, and geopolitical finance. The book is aimed at investors who want to understand how a major financial disruption could affect asset prices, capital mobility, and the role of central banks. Rather than focusing on chasing high returns, Rickards frames the problem as wealth preservation in a period of possible inflation, debt stress, policy distortion, and market fragility. He argues that conventional assumptions about passive investing, dollar stability, and portfolio safety may fail when the next crisis arrives. The book is best understood as a defensive guide that combines macroeconomic forecasting with practical asset allocation advice. Its core purpose is to help readers think about what kinds of assets may hold value when financial systems become strained and what kinds of strategies are vulnerable to repression, devaluation, or panic. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a crisis-first view of modern markets and why asset prices may be artificially supported. Rickards begins from the claim that today's financial markets are not simply efficient reflections of value, but are shaped by policy, incentives, and behavior that can keep prices elevated longer than fundamentals justify. He points to low interest rates, institutional flows, and the influence of retirement and fund management systems as mechanisms that encourage investors toward the same assets at the same time. The significance of this argument is that it changes the investor's basic problem. The key risk is not only a market correction, but a system built on prolonged distortion. If prices are inflated by structure rather than by lasting growth, then traditional valuation methods can fail to protect capital. The book uses this diagnosis to justify a more cautious posture. Instead of assuming that diversification across standard equities and bonds is enough, Rickards argues that investors must prepare for discontinuity, not smooth reversion. That makes the book less a trading guide than a warning about the fragility hidden inside apparently stable markets. Secondly, wealth preservation through the 10-10-20-20-40 portfolio framework. One of the book's most concrete contributions is its defensive allocation model, often summarized as the 10-10-20-20-40 plan. The structure is designed around resilience rather than maximum return, with a mix of physical gold, cash, alternative assets such as land or fine art, hedge funds or private equity, and a more traditional stocks and bonds component. The logic behind the framework is that no single asset class should dominate in an unstable environment, especially when correlations rise during a crisis and supposedly diversified portfolios can fall together. Gold provides a hedge against monetary disorder, cash supplies liquidity, and alternative assets may retain value outside the financial system. The more conventional allocation remains in the portfolio, but only as one part of a broader defense. This is important because Rickards is not recommending a total retreat from markets. He is recommending a portfolio built for surviving stress. The book's practical appeal comes from this specific structure, which gives readers an actionable way to think about preserving purchasing power when confidence in financial assets weakens. Thirdly, central banks, financial repression, and the risk of trapped capital. A major theme in the book is that governments and central banks may respond to debt and instability with policies that quietly transfer risk from the state to savers. Rickards emphasizes financial repression, meaning interest rates held below inflation, regulations that direct institutions toward government debt, and barriers that make it harder for capital to move freely across borders. The practical consequence is that nominal savings can be preserved while real purchasing power erodes. This is one of the book's most important ideas because it explains why holding conventional financial assets is not the same as protecting wealth. Even if a bank account or bond position remains intact on paper, inflation or policy intervention can reduce its real value. Rickards treats capital controls as an extension of this danger. If money cannot easily leave the system, governments gain more power to devalue or restructure it. This topic gives the book a geopolitical dimension, showing that wealth preservation is not only about market selection, but also about jurisdiction, legal access, and the ability to move assets when policy changes quickly. Fourthly, why Rickards distrusts passive investing, digital currencies, and one-size-fits-all advice, the book also challenges several popular investment narratives. Rickards is skeptical of passive index investing because he believes it depends on markets remaining broadly functional and on prices reflecting a normal balance between buyers and sellers. In his view, if asset prices are being supported by distorted flows or policy intervention, passive strategies may simply expose investors to the same systemic vulnerability as everyone else. He is similarly critical of Bitcoin and Ethereum, which he treats as unreliable substitutes for durable stores of value in a crisis. This skepticism is consistent with the book's larger emphasis on tangible assets, liquidity, and institutional realism. Rickards is not arguing that every new financial technology is useless. Rather, he is warning that speculative narratives can distract from the hard question of what actually preserves value when trust breaks down. The point is not that all conventional advice is wrong in normal times, but that normal times may not be the right assumption. This makes the book especially distinct among finance titles because it attacks popular orthodoxy directly and forces readers to reconsider which strategies are truly defensive. Lastly, preparing for a post-crisis financial order where hard assets matter more than paper claims. Rick Ards repeatedly suggests that the next crisis will not end the financial system, but reshape it into something less forgiving for holders of paper assets. In that scenario, the relative value of hard assets such as gold and land may rise while stocks and bonds could suffer major real losses. The book's broader implication is that wealth preservation requires thinking beyond current market prices and toward what assets would still matter if confidence in the monetary system weakens. This is where the book's macro perspective becomes most useful. It connects debt expansion, inflation risk, dollar dominance, and monetary policy into a single story about system stress. Readers are asked to imagine not just a downturn, but a new regime with different rules. That intellectual move is what gives the book lasting relevance. It does not offer a prediction of collapse for its own sake. It offers a framework for identifying which assets are likely to remain useful if the rules of finance are rewritten by crisis, policy response, or geopolitical change. The focus is therefore on preparedness, not panic. In conclusion, Aftermath is best suited for investors, financially literate readers, and anyone concerned with systemic risk, inflation, and the durability of conventional portfolios. It is especially useful for people who want a macroeconomic lens on wealth preservation rather than another book about stock picking or short-term market timing. Readers will come away with a clearer sense of how debt, monetary policy, capital controls, and asset correlations can affect real purchasing power when markets become stressed. The practical value of the book lies in its emphasis on defensive planning and its memorable portfolio framework, which gives readers a concrete way to think about allocation under uncertainty. Intellectually, it stands out because it connects investing to geopolitics and central banking, rather than treating finance as an isolated technical field. Compared with many books in the crisis investing genre, it is less about sensational collapse scenarios than about how institutional systems can quietly erode wealth before any obvious crash occurs. That blend of warning, strategy, and macro interpretation is what makes the book distinctive within James Rickards' broader work and within the category of financial risk writing. If you would like to support James Rickards, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.